Hi and welcome to the Pride and Prejudice Minute, where we discussed 2005 version of Pride and Prejudice minute by minute. Today we are discussing minutes 103, which depending on your version goes from around 1 hour 42 minutes and 30 seconds to 1 hour 43 minutes and 30 seconds. I'm your host Sandra.
And I'm Susanna. And last time, Mr. Bingley and Mr. Darcy were visiting the Bennets, having some very awkward conversation. And it seemed like Mr. Bingley wanted to say more, but then he bravely ran away. And we ended the minute on Jane, you know, kind of reflecting on what the heck just happened.
Yeah.
And that's where we start this minute as well.
Yeah. Yeah, she still looks sad, but also in a way a bit annoyed, even maybe. Like, okay, that's done. Nothing has happened. This was a disaster and nothing more will come of it.
Yeah, a bit resigned, I think.
Yeah.
I guess, she has accepted, okay, I guess this is it. Mm-hmm. This is how things are going to go between me and Mr. Bingley from now on.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, she doesn't feel as good. And the camera kind of really zooms in on her.
Yeah. Like, we're really focused on Jane's feelings right now, which is logical because this scene was all about Jane.
Yeah.
Well, everyone was there, but it was really about Jane.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, we end this scene with Jane looking down. And, yeah, it's just resigned, I think, is the best word.
Yeah.
But then the scene switches.
Yes.
And we're outside.
The music changes, so we know that we're going to switch.
Yes.
And indeed we go outside.
Where, from a distance, we see Mr. Darcy and Mr. Bingley standing, surrounded by nature, right outside Longbourn.
Yeah, this time you can immediately recognize it, because this is the exact same scene? No, location. Where Lizzie had her fight with her mother over not marrying Mr. Collins, which was back in minute 51. I had to look that up.
But... Oh, wow. Look at that. A long, long time ago.
But this time it's not Lizzie or any of the Bennets. It's Mr. Darcy and Mr. Bingley.
Yeah, and Mr. Bingley has his hat in his hands and he's kind of holding it to his forehead. My boy is frustrated.
Oh, and he's so nervous. And during this, like I said, we hear music start up. And it's actually quite a lively tune. It's quite upbeat, which steers the direction of the scene in that it is comic, not really that he's truly frustrated and depressed or something. It's kind of a comedic scene.
Yeah. Also think what the music does throughout the whole minute is that it's a little frantic. So it's very, the tempo is very fast, which kind of gets, makes you feel nervous as well. Because that's the whole thing. Yeah. What we learn in this scene is that the nerves just got the better of Mr. Bingley. And, you know, that it's not that things didn't go according to plan.
Exactly. And fun fact for this scene, this entire scene was improvised by our two gentlemen. So that's actually quite fun to know, I think, especially some of the things they're doing.
It's lovely. They must have had
great fun shooting that scene. Yeah.
It is such a cute little scene that really endears you to both gentlemen. Because, we see them from a distance and then we see Bingley walk up to Darcy and then the camera switches to a closer up. And then we see Bingley just kind of talking. And he says, we were going to walk in. And she was going to say, sit down.
This is, I feel so bad for poor Bingley, because, you know, it's so clear that he had planned every step of the way of how this was supposed to go, only he didn't make a plan B.
No, no.
No, it's just...
He was thrown off by questions by Mrs. Bennet that he had not intended, and he wanted to talk to Jane and Jane alone, and this is just not... Oh. And that's the kind of frustration that he has. Like, it's a it's a funny type of frustration, because he failed. He tried something and he failed.
Yeah. It went disastrously. And I like how all this time Darcy is just kind of standing still, and like even now he kind of just supports him by confirming how it all didn't happen that way. Like, yeah, no, that's not what happened. Like, he's just there.
He really is. But Bingley's really in his head right now. So you kind of see him walk to and from Darcy. He's tapping on his head. And he, you know, he restarts a sentence several times.
Yeah.
You know, he goes closer to Darcy and kind of gestures with his head up and down, and then no, and walks away again.
Yeah, and you know, running his hand nervously through his hair, and it's great to watch. You really feel so bad for poor Miss Bingley.
And like, you just see that he's, you know, he's kind of at his wit's end. Like, oh God, how could I have saved this moment? And then at a certain point, he just kind of throws his arms down and says, oh, it's a disaster, isn't it? And in the background, you keep having this frantic, upbeat music that it's like,
it's great. It's great, like, oh yes, my boy, it is exactly that. It is a disaster, but it's you're very cute while being in this disaster. Luckily,
it is.
He has that going for him.
Yeah, and then he paces it. Then he paces around, and the camera kind of switches from going close up and going from a bit further.
I really like that, because it's basically a collection of very short cuts.
Yes.
And you know, constantly goes up farther away, and the light doesn't really change, but it still makes it feel like they were there for a while, which also makes it funnier, I think. Yes. It's great.
And then comes probably my favorite moment of Mr. Bingley and Mr. Darcy as supportive friends. Which is that after he's pacing that and starts again, that he then starts again and bows at Mr. Darcy and says, Miss Bennet. And then Darcy bows back and says, Mr. Bingley.
Fully serious in his role of being Miss Bennet.
Completely straight faced. Oh, I love it.
And like that's the thing that I like, that this was improvised. Like, I can just see them coming up with this.
It really feels like they're friends. That's the best thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, before we've talked about how very different they are, and how, you know, we have the cat and the dog friend.
Yeah.
But I think here you have this little moment of genuine friendship that you're like, look at these buddies being friends. Look at them supporting each other.
I think this is actually the most direct interaction that we've seen them had together. I think the other scenes were probably in Netherfield, somewhere at the start of the movie. But even then, this is so, like, Darcy is fully here for Bingley. And we haven't seen that before. It's really sweet.
It is. And, you know, we see another moment that from a bit further away, that then Bingley just decides, and he says, I just go in and I'll just say it. And
Darcy's like, just say it. Just do it.
Yes, exactly. They're so Darcy is really just hyping him up, like, you can do it.
Really?
But just in the driest way possible.
Yeah. It's great. But yeah, no, Mr. Bailey is kind of like, you know, he's trying to hype himself up. And he apparently the support Darcy gives is enough for him, at least.
Yes. I mean, I do really like it because, of course, Darcy is the whole reason why Jane and Bingley broke up. So I do like that Darcy takes ownership here, basically of his own mistake, and, you know, is going to like, okay, buddy, we're going to fix this. You need to do it, but you really want I'll be it. Here.
Yeah, exactly. It's really sweet. And, you know, after they've kind of decided that they will just go in, or Bingley will just go in and say it, they both kind of turn to face the camera, so which is directly placed in front of Longbourn. So they're looking at the direction of Longbourn, which kind of tells us that they're ready to head back in.
Yes.
And we don't actually see them directly heading back in, because by then we switch.
And we're back in the living room or the salon with all the ladies. Yes. And and Lizzie has joined Jane on the sofa that Jane was sitting on before. And in the background, we still have Mrs. Bennet, and she's talking to Mary. But that's less important for what's happening in the forefront, because we have a lovely moment of Jane talking nonsense.
Again. Yeah, no, but it's really sweet because Jane is actually also holding one of Lizzie's hands, which
is sweet. I mean, she actually reaches out and she says, "I'm glad it's over. At least now we can meet as indifferent acquaintances."
Which is kind of exactly the same thing that she said when, you know, she tried to convince Lizzie that she was completely over him.
Yeah, exactly.
Being in London and not seeing him.
It feels very much like a rehearsed sentence that she's just going to say, you know, "I'm fine. We're cool. You know, we can just meet and talk normally. And my feelings aren't hurt or anything, really."
Really, yeah. And I like Lizzie's reply so much because she's like, "Oh, yes."
It's so clear that Lizzie doesn't buy it.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
And, you know, Jane also immediately hears that doubt in Lizzie's voice.
Yeah, but like, Jane is, the way she defends herself, it almost sounds like she's really convinced of herself as well. Yeah. Because she says, "No, you cannot think me so weak as to be in danger now." But I think, now that I say it, it's more like, she doesn't believe Bingley truly wants to go through with this, I think. It's not really that she doesn't like Bingley anymore, but I think she's afraid that Bingley doesn't like Jane.
It's more so in the way, "Oh no, you cannot think me so weak as to still have feelings for a guy who doesn't care about me." I interpret it a bit more like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought as first, but yeah. I don't know, it's so clear that she likes him.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, girl, how are you fooling yourself?
But I think that makes the most sense with what Lizzie says in response. Because, you know, Lizzie just kind of looks at her smiling like, "Girl."
It's very mischievous smirk that she has.
And she tells her, "I think you are in great danger of making him as much in love with you as ever."
Yeah.
And, you know, we see Lizzie's, like I said, mischievous smile. And then we see Jane with like these big hopeful eyes.
Also a bit blank, I think, like, really? I don't know. Like, she's a bit unbelievable. Yeah, I think she's tried so hard to convince herself all this time that this won't work out, that she's almost like unbelieving that, you know, people still think that there might be a chance.
Yeah. So, but In any case, however Jane might feel or not have any feelings whatsoever towards Mr. Bingley, she decides to change the subject.
Also a repetition, a repeat of what we saw that 1 minute when they were in bed.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, you can really tell that this is their normal interaction.
Yeah.
Like, they tease each other a little, and once someone, one of the two doesn't like it, okay, let's move on. Let's go to another subject. Yeah. And Jane says, I'm sorry, though, that he came with Mr. Darcy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we basically end the minute with another close-up of Lizzie's face.
Yes.
Yes.
But I don't think, from that face, I don't think Lizzie's that sorry.
No.
Though, of course, Jane is missing, like, this massive part of Lizzie and Darcy's growth. Yeah. So she wasn't there
for it. She doesn't know anything. No.
I mean, the last places where we saw Lizzie and Darcy interact was, of course, all the way in Darcy's estate, and then earlier with Lady Catherine de Bourgh.
Yeah.
And Jane wasn't there for both these moments. So that entire growth is, you know, she doesn't know it.
No, and I mean, Lizzie was, of course, going to confess in that kind of parallel scene that we had earlier. But then it didn't work out because she kind of chickened out.
Yes.
She's like, no, there's nothing. So the question is, will she chicken out again this time or not?
Or will we have some actual genuine feelings?
Yes.
Ooh.
Exposed to your sister. But we won't know that until next week, unless you watch the movie. But you can still follow us on Instagram under the name PNP Minute. And that's been everything. I've been Sandra.
And I've been Susanna. See you next week.